Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
What an absolutely fabulous town, fabulous crowd. Today we're going to be tackling the topic of isolation, how to cope when you're feeling lonely, as part of the Salisbury International Arts Festival. Ooh. As two international artistic ladies, we're feeling pretty confident about that. I once went to France.
So
alone?
No, very much not. No,
so
no.
You just, you didn't feel international?
In France, I recognise the international part.
But only that.
Sadly. But yes, so before we do that, though, we've collected the lovely adult things from the audience. And there's a couple that I saw written down that I really hope we get to. So I might do a little dig. There was one involving Instagram. And if anyone's written anything to do with Instagram, I really wanted to hear about it. Okay, so...
And we can tell that some people in the room never, no concept. Thrilled to have it. You're going to grasp it really, really quickly.
Yes.
And also, everybody really understood the concept of the adult things. We've increasingly understood that we need to say the grown-up thing you've done this week. Because when we say, could you write down your adult thing? People, like, take our pens and they're like, what do you want? Like, why?
I'm leaving.
Why would we do that?
But the vibe nosedives very, very quickly when we start.
Sometimes they're sexy things.
Or I rescued a kitten.
Oh,
from a burning building? Where from?
Jesus. And straight from kitten, contributed to an audit at work. Gorgeous.
I don't know what that is.
I don't know if it's good, if that's bad, if you were in trouble.
Yeah, are you in jail?
Did you do it? Did you have to?
Did you do the audit fraud?
I don't know if you were the defense or the prosecution, but I'm thrilled to find out.
Did food tasting, which is quite adult, for our wedding?
Oh, I worked a 13-hour day and didn't cry. Yes. Lovely one.
Covered for my husband, who had a huge hangover. I don't know where you covered for him.
Federal government? Yeah. Learning how car park hours work.
That's my favourite one so far.
So much to unpack there.
So much to unpack. Is it the car park hours or is it time in general you're
learning,
struggling with?
Learning how they work.
I realised this one started HRT. Come on!
Yes!
Come on!
That's a great
very
one.
Good for osteoporosis, you bones. Like that.
We bought our first bed. Oh, what have you been sleeping on, sis?
Each other.
Yeah, that's so nice. That's so adult. What a thing to do together.
Here's a lovely one that ends with a question.
Oh.
My teenage son now has a girlfriend. Should he be allowed to be alone in his room with her? 70 question marks. They'll just be talking about music and chatting about mixtapes.
So nice, because... Somebody came to the point, it feels like this person was like, I don't know what they're asking me here, but I do have an important question.
Yes.
Should he be allowed, now has a girlfriend, should he be allowed in his own room with, alone in his room with her?
Or any room, like the kitchen. Just like, I'm trying to get...
I would say door open policy. It would be what I would
say. Door
open
and you sat outside.
Yeah.
You
know what I mean? Just like
cross-legged
this.
With binoculars.
Yeah, rifle on the knee. Yeah.
And a rifle on your knee.
Would be mine. Brought a homemade sandwich. Oh, fuck, already it's so exciting. To eat in the park to cool down from the drive, which I shouldn't have worn leggings for. So
So I've had to take them off now. Yes, what a journey.
Oh, I felt that very
viscerally. Wow, what a narrative, what a story.
Oh my God, this one is amazing. Used my label maker to label my label maker. Her name is Mabel.
Oh. Oh, yes. I went to my daughter's first sports day.
Oh, that's so cute. Egg and spoon race. That's a real thing, isn't it?
I came to this gig on my own.
Yay! Yeah. Oh, in the bar.
They've written concert and they've crossed it out and written gig. So I feel like they started writing, understood the concept, cross that out. It won't be Vivaldi. They thought, no, not a concert.
I hope this was going to be something very different. Okay.
Went to a big meeting at work with big scary men and held my own despite them asking who I was. Oh fuck, brackets, I've worked there for 4 years.
Oh
shit,
scary men.
I have a friend called Joy Tuffield, and her boss, she's worked there like 8 years, her boss insists on calling her Joyce Tuffin. She's so high up as well. Completed over half of my A-levels and taught myself to knit. Oh my God.
At the same time?
Oh my God, is it A-level season?
Yeah, it is. Oh, and knitting season. This is my favourite one. I tried to sign up for Instagram. No idea if it was successful. There's so much I love about that. That you just like, I guess that may or may not have worked. And we'll never know. Oh, post some hot pics. Come on,
yes,
that's
please.
How you'll know.
Get a thirst trap going. Organise my contact lens checkup without being prompted. God bless you.
Just to check it's still in your eyes, I imagine.
Yeah, is it there? I think it's been there months. Caught up on personal admin, brackets, doc's appoint, physio appoints, brackets, etc. Gorgeous.
Right, come on, let's get one more.
Yeah,
we're in.
Come on, I'll bring us home.
Okay, bring us home.
Successfully ate the food in my house instead of getting delivery the whole of June. Oh my God. And then she's written, I'm sorry, it's a sheep. I mean, I don't know for sure. Brackets, thanks for the how to oven runes chapter.
Oh, in our book that we've written.
Oh my God, it's here.
We've got a book here.
And the last one is, and this feels so grown up,
reviewed the annual budget.
No explanation necessary. I don't think.
And that lovely handwriting.
Oh, really reviewed that budget.
Reviewed the shit out of that budget.
Pressed very
Jesus
hard because you've written the budget, reviewed the budget so well. Okay, right, let's get into it.
Absolutely.
Okay? So, this is a sort of a very, it could be a very intense topic, but we'll try and keep it light or not. Okay, so Tessa, when you're feeling lonely or you're feeling isolated, like how do you cope as a person? Like what's your kind of lonely, I think everyone deals with it very, very differently.
Yeah, so I think the first thing that we want, like the first, like if you Google this, I think that's the first thing that comes up is like big difference between loneliness and being alone.
Oh, what is it? Oh, because you can be alone and you can be alone and be happy.
Yeah, it's very much about this. I think the first thing is addressing that. Like, are you just alone? Because I'm very content in my own company.
When I have a wee, that's fine.
For example,
I'm alone.
I'm happy to go places on my own, do things on my own, happy to do. And so you might be someone who's like, yeah, enjoy my own company, happy to go places alone. And then you could be in a room full of people,
yes,
a massive party, and be like, I feel the loneliest I've ever felt.
Oh my God, that's incredibly sad. I was going to say, or you could be somebody who doesn't like being on their own. And I was going to go, me, and I started to put my hand up there and was like, oh, that's very dark.
No, so absolutely, yes. You might be like, oh, I love, but that's the thing, you could be, you could love people. You could, or sometimes you're like, I want to be on my own today, and be like, but tomorrow, I'm happy to be the life and soul of the party, and then I want to be on my own and recharge. And it's about addressing that, like, you could live on your own in the middle of the Outer Hebrides and have the fucking time of your life. I'm so sorry for swearing. And, or you could live in a massive city surrounded by people in a house share, you know, with an endless, and still, and feel lonely.
Yeah, I feel like no one sees you, that's the thing, isn't it? Yes, also, I feel like, I've always kind of immediately connected it with being alone as being negative, because I am unable to be on my, apart from weighing, of course, being unable.
And she weighs so fast in order to get back out and back into the company.
Oh, I can't be with my own thoughts. I'm done.
Have I missed anything?
I just want to be involved, you know. But also yes, and actually, when I'm saying that, we're joking about the weighing thing, but I do before phone. I take my phone into wee, not on it, but like I'll read my phone and. Instagram. And I realized like recently that my phone usage was ridiculous because every single time I'm not actively doing something, I will be scrolling, I will be looking at my phone, which means that my brain never ever or has lost the ability to just do this. You know, just like just have a nice sit and a think and a look. So actually recently I was like, I'm not going to take my phone. Also, it's gross to take your phone into the bathroom. Thank you. We all think about it. That's grim. And I was going to say, anyone who also does that, no one wants to admit it. Okay? I'm being very brave here. Okay. I'm a very brave woman.
So brave, so vulnerable.
So brave, so vulnerable in front of you in Salisbury. But when I stopped taking my phone into the bathroom, I had to have a stack of books because I was like, I can't actually be alone with my own urine. I can't even do that.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm the opposite of you. So this year was my year where I very much I tried to go away by myself. Like I went for a week and then I went for another week, and one was successful, one was less successful because I just ended up like meeting up with people, which is. But I wanted to do like a whole week by myself, and I found it really tricky and I found it really hard. Mm-hmm. And I think as well, people, you know, it's very privileged to be able to be like, well, I'll go and spend some time alone. But often loneliness is thrust upon you because you're in a different life situation. Like you're in it. Like my, you know, I think my parents, for example, my dad goes away a lot for work, and sometimes my mum, when she isn't working, doesn't even realise that she does feel lonely. She just feels a bit down, and it's only when we've like had big chats and it's been like, oh yeah, you need to come and visit more. Like, let's do some stuff. And I think it's very hard to identify the feeling, is I suppose what I'm saying in that monologue that I just did.
It was very powerful and I liked it very much. I think you tap on something really important there, which is like, that you don't immediately know it. You aren't quick to be like, oh, I feel lonely. That comes after a little while of being like, oh, that's what it felt like.
Yeah.
Or that you could have been at a particular job, or it isn't until you leave and you go to a different job that you're like, oh my God, that's why I felt like that every single day. And I thought it was the commute, but it was that no one ever wanted to hang out with me.
Yeah.
You know, and it takes, sometimes it's, or, you know, your partner comes home or your housemates come home or you've, you know, been on your own for a bit and you're like, oh, it feels like something's come off my shoulders and I'm laughing and I'm hanging out and I feel like myself again. And so it's, and I think it's a good thing to, the first thing I suppose is to be like, oh, okay, we're identifying that feeling and being quicker to be like, oh, it's loneliness. There it is again. It's loneliness
Which
again.
Feels really like, obviously, but then it's like, it's really hard. I struggle today, in fact. I spent the whole day being like, am I hungry? It's like,
right.
Just are you? Like, are you hungry? Yeah, just ask, do you, I don't know. Because I'm hot. But also, like, I struggle to even identify the most simple things sometimes. Yeah. I'll be like, really upset or feel really tired or feel really weird and then realise I haven't drank water in like, you know, 17 days. And then be like, oh, I'm dying. That's what it is. Like, I'm very dehydrated.
Actually,
there's no shame in not understanding
not being in
what your feelings are and not being able to name them. But and it sounds, sometimes the advice can sound quite rudimentary, but actually when you think about it, it's quite hard to name the emotion you're feeling right now. You know, like I'd say now, oh, I'm sweaty and I am hungry, but that's not really a feeling. That's just like
was
a
no
function
hummus, of course.
There was no hummus in Salisbury, and so I mean a lot of carrots, they've not plugged the gap, the protein in it, but like that, it's very easy to describe yourself in a descriptive term like, yeah, I am a sweating woman, it's very hot, or I'm very hungry, but not in terms of emotionally, like I actually don't know what I feel like now. Maybe fearful.
Oh, that's nice. I don't know what, I guess, hot. Like, it's hard, isn't it? Because you're just like, you feel like, how did you feel today? And it's very hard to identify your, I don't know, like it's also a generational thing. Like I remember I asked my grandma how she was feeling the other day, and then she said, well, I've got this problem in my knee. And I was like, yeah, but how do you feel? Like, how, you know, are you, you
in
know,
your brain?
And then she was like, well, the knee doesn't bend, and I've been to see Dr. Krupal Shah, and he says we can't get the knee surgery till next year. I was like, grandma, how do you feel? And like, I think
the knee, are you sad?
No, like, she was just bringing up, she was just endlessly telling me her ailments. She told me about the house. She told me that she likes to count these sheep in the field across the road. They're not her sheep, and she counts them, and then she'll say, well, there's less than there were yesterday, and then we're like, well, what should we do with that information? So like, she tells me all these things, and then I keep saying like, but how do you feel? And I could tell that she really was like, didn't know how to express those sort of like, you know, I feel sad or happy or you know, and it is really hard. And I remember some, you know, somebody having to give me this bored of all these faces, you know, they'd be like excited, fretful, angry, all of this stuff, you know, because we're like, oh my God, there's such a huge smorgasbord of emotion there that we're just like, we're not in touch with. And I think I went to a baby shower the other day because I live in an American sitcom. And at the baby shower, so many of my school friends now are having children. And I realized that only just now that the feeling I was feeling, which I thought was just a bit hot, was this feeling of being isolated from them, of like, yeah, that they've all got this like secret club now, and you know that they can hand me their baby and I can be as supportive as we possibly can, but they've sort of got a secret language and a secret thing that I can't be part of ever again. God grief, well, this has taken a turn.
No, it's
just,
well, it is a secret but club when you have a baby, you join the baby membership club, yeah, and you all go,
and everybody who's not in it, you can't, yes, be part of it, and then you like sort of have to, that sort of bit of your friendship group changes,
yeah.
And it's taken me till now to be like, oh, the thing was feeling isolated and feeling like I couldn't be part. And again, I saw an element of loneliness that even though we're all in this room, pinning the baby on
the donkey.
My friend is pinning the baby on the donkey. Dreadful game.
really bad
game. My friend had found this like old Renaissance painting, and then it was like a nude woman with a boob out, and then you had this cutout of a medieval baby, and you had to be blindfolded and try and place the baby on the boob. Bit of fun.
That's,
and
really
then
great.
We all had to chant latch, 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 latch. Like this. Anyway, and as we were chanting latch, 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 and I was like, oh, what time? And I looked around, everyone has
a little baby who's gonna latch.
Yeah.
There's no one who wants to, I'll latch it on you, mate. Come on, so on a train home, let's latch.
Tip number one, have you got a friend who will latch when you are feeling lonely?
But you know, use the latch as a metaphor. That is a good question, because also, so like, obviously that's a very specific example, but it's a really good example of how loneliness isn't just like, oh, I'm on an island alone. It's like, you know, you can feel isolation in many different ways. That's a really good way of sort of seeing it in terms of like, do you have... Because I remember when me and Tessa have share a friendship group that isn't that friendship group. I don't know the sort of the babies that you're friends with.
The medieval baby group.
A lot of babies. and their mother separately. We have another group of friends, and pretty much none of them have kids. And we all went to a wedding. And you said, I remember, like halfway through the evening, you're like, oh, there are people that are still like me. It's just I was spending a lot of time with one particular type of person. And you can, but you've got to like... Basically, you didn't know that, like, you get so sucked into one sort of way of life that you don't look around at the other connections that you have.
Yeah.
Which I think is a big part of, like, helping with isolation, is it's so easy to sort of feel like, I don't know, no one sees me, or I'm not, like, you know, I've got sort of nobody to really, like, be with at this time, or for whatever the example is in your own life or not, is, like, to be able to look non-judgmentally at all the genuine connections that you do have. Because it's like when you're single and someone's like, and you're like, no one ever fancies me. And then someone goes, well, you know, Richard does. And you're like, well, not him. Yeah. Like, so Richard does fancy, you don't fancy Richard. You know, there's that element going, yeah, on there where you're like, well, I've got no friends, or like, I feel lonely, or I feel isolated. It's like, well, actually look around. Are you, or are you isolated within, you know,
this particular group?
This particular group. And is there ways as well of looking at the people that you do have connections with that you don't feel are strong enough, and going, can I strengthen those connections rather than just being like, not Richard, and leaving the room? there's a way of, yeah, there's like a way of kind of, and that's like one of the things that a lot of psychologists and experts kind of say, that that's like the naming, and then also the second one being like, assess the connections that you actually do have. And that's not just like people as well, that could be things. Maybe this look like, have your circumstances changed? You know, is it something that you used to do that you don't do anymore? And could you go back to doing that? Like, why is the isolation feeling there, is like the other really crucial thing once you've labelled it. Because then you can go like, of course, I switched jobs and I just don't really get on with my colleagues, whereas in my old job I did, and I didn't even realise that. And now, oh, you could get on with them, but you're like, I just don't feel like I can, you know, be myself in that crowd. Well, then it's maybe time to look at your colleagues and sort of look closer. I mean, like, well, am I going to the work drinks? Am I actually putting myself out there? Because quite a lot of the time, what I do is I'll be like, I'll make a grand statement and then realize, like the thing that I was like, no one ever wants to go on holiday with me. And I was like, I didn't ask anyone to go on holiday either. So everyone was like, Stevie doesn't really like going on holidays. You're like, oh shit. Like, I actually could have just gone, do you want to go on holiday with me? That would be fun, you know? And the moment I did that, I went on holiday with my friend. So it's very simple, isn't it? It's like, obviously, but like, actually quite a lot of the time we don't put ourselves out there. We wait for other people to reach out is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Number one, label it. It's loneliness. Yeah. Number two, have you got a friend who can latch? Okay? Number three, can we look around? This is happening in real time, and it's very impressive, actually. Can we look into a different group for different connections? That's what they're looking
at. What word are you spelling out?
No words, just everything begins with an L.
Right.
So, label, loneliness, latching, okay. Looking. Now, we're looking for what cells can we get it from?
Try and make an L out of this.
Yeah?
Volunteer somewhere.
Volunteer, with the L in the middle.
I'm breathless.
Quick as a whip. I'm ever so good.
It's incredible.
Yeah, so it's about where else can you find, and it's so easy, like me being like, well, everyone's got a baby now, so what's even the point? Or being like, oh, everybody in this job isn't as good as the last job, or nobody in my family wants to hang out.
Yeah, sure. It's what,
and that's the thing, like, you could be like, oh, my family, but actually, like, it's so easy to be like, oh, everybody else has this in this way of, everyone else is a bit different, or all my, you know, it can be so easy to be, feel the black sheep of a family.
Yeah, so whatever, to just drift away, like, you know,
role
just
you are within that family, whether that's the child, the mother, the parent, the wherever you are, to be like, oh, everybody else has got a little bit of a gang and I don't really feel, you know, part of it. And then to be like, okay, it doesn't have to be like, oh, well, I guess that's that forever now. It's like, we're looking, where else can we find our good connections? And then it takes that bit of bravery to be like, okay, I have to be the one now to make the jump, because we're all desperate for, you know, the text that's like, hey, do you want to come to this with me? But maybe we have to be the one sending the text.
Absolutely.
And being like, hey, do you want to come to Ardingly Antiques Fair? Option.
Yes, I do.
Yeah,
sounds great.
We can all go if you want. I'm going next Tuesday. My friend did text me that the other day, and I was like, "What a dream text to receive!" Yeah, of course, I want to go to Ardingly Antiques Fair. We're going to wear matching blue fleeces and pretend we're on bargain hunt. Okay. What
great
a day,
day
out! I'm so excited.
Great day.
People will be like, "Where are the cameras? Who are these two women?" anyway, so and then when I received it, you know, and I had been feeling a little bit the amount of like I'm going to make a guess at the good chemical dopamine.
Or serotonin.
Serotonin. The immediate rush of serotonin of someone like inviting you somewhere or doing a thing. And I was like, oh my God, that's all it took was one person. It's like, there must be, so if we could all sort of send that text out to other people, or, you know, you make that, you know, jump that barrier. And like you're saying, you know, you being like, no, no one ever invites me on holiday. And I was like, have you ever invited anyone on holiday?
No,
exactly. So it's like, we've got to do the brave part, which isn't fun. You want to be the popular girl who's just invited everywhere, but you aren't.
Nobody is.
You simply aren't.
The popular girl's tiresome as well. You don't want to hang out with her.
You're not the popular girl, so you've got to, you know, you've got to be the one sending the thing. And even like, so two of our friends made this film recently. It's called All My Friends Hate Me. Is that what
yes.
it's called?
Yeah. It's very
all,
good.
All My Friends Hate Me. It's an amazing film. It's in the cinemas at the moment, and it's about being in your 30s and going to a house party with your friends who are friends with at university and suddenly being like, oh my God, but then it also becomes a horror.
It doesn't really. Okay. It's actually not a horror. I've seen
it. I was too scared to watch it.
Yeah. But, I interviewed them and she's like, I've seen it. It's like, no. You know,
but I think what was so interesting is that these two boys, I would say, were like absolutely like
the popular boys.
They were the popular boys. Like, yeah. They were prom king.
I was frightened of speaking of to them.
Genuinely, when they said they want to come on the podcast, and I hope they don't ever hear us talking about this.
They don't. They're too cool to listen.
They're like way
genuinely.
Too cool to listen to the podcast. But they said, could we come on the podcast and talk about the film? And we were both like, okay. And we were like, but the prom kings, why would you want to come on our podcast? And so like, so they were in comedy for many years. They were sort of the boys in the year above us. Like it was all like, they were very cool. And for them to come on and then they talk like very openly and very vulnerably about what it's like to feel isolated, to not feel like you have friends anymore, to feel like not people are laughing behind your back or that you aren't like part of it or like, am I even friends with these people anymore? And I was like, oh my God, even the people that you think are literally the king of cool, you know, yeah. the popular person who's like, oh my God, their life must be just full of friends and on yachts all the time and invited places. And like, yeah, maybe sometimes for a small portion of the year, but like they might do cool stuff. But like the majority of it, like it is for everyone, is this, you know, you're just sort of with yourself being like, oh, I hope I get a text.
You could be lonely
about the antiques fair, you know. And so it's like
you could also be lonely on a yacht, you know. You could be lonely on a yacht. Yeah, you could be lonely at a party. You could be lonely at the antiques fair. God forbid. Yeah, I hope you're not. I hope you're having a great time.
I will have a fantastic time. But yeah, no, you're absolutely right. Me being like, oh, got a cool life. They're on the yacht. And literally, what have we been describing? It's this idea of like you can be doing the cool stuff and still be like, I don't feel I'm part of this, and I don't feel good, and I don't. Yes. I still feel isolated from everybody else. Oh my God.
But if you want to like test that muscle out, I think there are loads of things that you can do that are, because I think there's this thing of like, get a hobby, or like if you feel like disconnected from a certain group of people or from a certain lifestyle, it's like just go and do it. Yeah, that's actually sometimes too hard. Mm. So sometimes actually it's helpful to essentially do something else, anything else that gets you slightly out of your comfort zone. You don't have to go like full pelt. Like I went on my own to a wedding the other day. That was mad. Like, and I felt isolated, but I should have done, because I should have gone with someone else. But like,
were you offered a plus one?
No.
You couldn't have gone with somebody else.
No, true. But I, do you know what? I've gone on like a tangent. Essentially, I just like realised that in real time, that's what I did. And I've been like, imagine if I had, like, I did make one friend. Doesn't matter, right?
No, it's not part of it. Tell us.
No, I made one friend on the way there, because it was like someone who I've met once. Mm. But if I hadn't have met her, and she was really great, I honestly was living this parallel universe at this wedding the whole time. I was like with this girl and having a nice time and meeting her friends. I was like, if I hadn't have ever spoken to her, I honestly would just be like this.
But you, that's the thing, like you,
I do. Oh, you, I'm married now.
Just what you thought say. You'd feel so lonely, you'd just shout I do in the middle of the
chair.
Yeah,
I wouldn't know what to do. I'd fill the gaps.
Well,
you know,
I think you living out a parallel universe while you were talking to somebody,
yes.
you know, is a sort of a waste of your brain.
100%. That's why I said it was a tangent.
No, but I think it's a really important tangent that it talks about this thing that's like, you know, you wouldn't ever be alone at a wedding, because somebody would say, oh, who's that lady with that trouser suit, and is she okay?
I was wearing a trouser suit. I look like Rupert the Bear, genuinely.
Nobody's leaving Rupert the Bear alone for
true.
Too long.
That
and,
is true.
And also the thing about weddings is it's so easy to be like, oh my God, everybody else here knows somebody and I'm just the cousin of the bride, or I'm whoever, I'm a work friend and I don't know anybody. But actually, if you actually did like a heat map of everyone's head, so many of them would be like, oh my fucking God, who's everybody at this wedding? I don't know anyone. I feel alone. And so you just have to be like, go up to people and be like, hello, I'm on my own. Okay, if I hang out with you guys, I'm really cool.
I mean, genuinely, that sounds like, well, no one would ever say that, but actually people do that, and you go, yeah, great. Like, people go, oh, do you mind if I sit with you? And you're like, yeah, because also that the wedding is like a microcosm for life.
Absolutely.
Where you're like, you feel like everyone else is doing their life and you're just alone being like, oh, well, I'm not part of anything. But actually the moment you reach out, people are like, yeah, join in my life stuff, you know?
It's basically no wallflowers. That just has to be your mantra of being like, am I sat here very sad, hoping to be asked to dance, hoping to someone comes up and wants to make friends with me at this wedding, hoping to be invited out, hoping, feeling sad? Or am I going to be brave enough to actually be the one who takes a step up and goes and asks somebody else if they would like to dance, knowing that that is their dream and they would love to dance?
Yeah, or at the very worst, they'll go, no, but thanks for asking. It was really cool. Do you know what I mean?
And then I suppose the very worst thing that happens is they say, no, but thanks ever so much. And you return to your seat and then you are where you were before.
But you've now learned how that asking someone to dance isn't so frightening.
Yeah.
So actually, any little tendril you can like pop out, what a weird image. Any tendril you can pop out is positive because you're like building on stuff. And I think as well, you know, there are things that horrible thing like join a club or whatever. You're like, but what? But then when you actually drill down into it, at the very base level, that actually is the best thing that you can do. And it's not about joining a club or something, but it's like looking at something that you used to do that maybe you don't do anymore and going, how can I do that again? That could be literally anything. And what's so great is online, like there are so many, there's a really good app, I think it is, called Meetup, and it's not like as lame as it sounds. It's about like charity work that people are doing within the area that you live in. Like all different types of people, all different types of things. And that is a really good starting point for a lot of people who are just like, I don't know, if you've moved to a new city or you're just feeling like you're just, I don't know, like maybe your like best mate's moved away or whatever the situation you're in, you're able to maybe like go and volunteer somewhere or try something out. And I think it's the first time you do it, it's like terrifying. And then you realise that everybody is doing that. Everyone's gone like, oh, should I go? Or like, yeah, would it be weird if I bring my cakes to this bake sale? Or like, do I go to that, like, I don't know, just like the life drawing thing? Like, is that going to be, I'm assuming it's going to be me and a nude man with his wang out? Like, and you realise, no, like loads of people, like all those people that you know, and I think everybody who's like ever, I don't know, met that woman on the, like where they live, who's just incredibly like involved in the community, you know, they're constantly involving themselves. Mm. You're like, well, you can get a little bit of that. You don't have to go that far, but you can like, you know, start to look beyond your like everyday routine. And all you have to do is like one extra thing. Like, well, I don't really ever have hobbies. And I only did this one course like about 7 years ago. And I still have two friends from it because.
Stop.
Yeah. Oh. I thought I did something wrong. I was like, oh my God, I've got something in my teeth.
No, I was so enthralled.
Yeah. So yeah, and because obviously it's all, you meet people who want to do this, who are vaguely interested in the same thing as you. And often most people have done it because they've been like, I'm a bit lonely or I'm stuck in a rut. So they want to make friends. It's like, you know, when you go to university and you're so used to being at school that at school, everyone's always like, you can't, well, I don't know, this is very much my experience of school. It was quite cliquey and quite like, you can't, I don't know, I didn't know where to sit with anybody and it was a bit horrible. And then I went to uni and was like, oh, it's going to be awful. But of course, Freshers Week, everyone's like, well, I don't know anyone either. So like, yeah, what's your name? And you're like, oh my God, it's not just about you. There's this lovely thing about how the best way to combat loneliness is to give. And so if you look around, you know, your life or other people, if you offer your help, if you reach out to someone and not just to be like, can we text occasionally some cool memes because I feel sad. But if you actually go like, you look at something that your friend's doing and offer to help with it. Mm. Like, do you want a hand, like, organising that birthday party? Like, do you want, like, all whatever. You insert, you make yourself helpful and then suddenly you're not lonely anymore because you've got a purpose.
Oh, God. That's absolutely lovely.
Not a dry eye in the house.
Shiraz wine.
Okay.
Yeah, they paid me £100.
Well, the concept of wine paid you.
The Shiraz Wine Company.
Okay.
Paid me £100. Is that just a blend of wine?
I think Shiraz is a type of wine.
Right, it's that can't like, be right then, can it?
Yeah.
Who was it?
I don't know. Okay. Let's just say it was. Any wines.
Yeah,
but
that might be big.
Tesco owned.
Sauvignon gave me £100.
Literally, like, yes, yes.
Oh, sorry. Okay, right. So a wine company, yes. I'm sorry, I can't think who it was, Shiraz Wine, gave me £100 to do this article, write an article literally about like how wine could, I totally forgot this until just now when you were talking about volunteering, how wine can like, you know, it was basically like, can you do all these activities? One was going to the soup kitchen, one was doing this volunteer thing, and one was taking a bottle of Shiraz wine to my downstairs neighbour and saying, would you like to hang out?
Oh, God. I would struggle to do that.
And actually, I was like, I'm so cringe, I can't bear to do that one. And I wrote, I pretended I had in the article and just said it was amazing and what a dream.
Journalism today.
Yeah, journalism. I just lied and said, so sorry, Shiraz Wine. I said like, oh my God, we were just having the time of our lives. All the other neighbours.
Is it illegal to do that? Is it journalistically illegal? Anyway, we'll just think about that
illegal
later.
Illegal schmeagle. Anyway, but then, as a thank you, so first thing is they sent me on this running thing where you could, which still exists, which is a charity thing where you run a kilometre or a mile or some distance, and then you do, like, you run, you all get together, then you run this distance, it's in the evenings, and then when you got there, we did this gardening in a housing project, and we, yeah, and we did this.
After you've just run.
After we just run, and then we did gardening for an hour, and then somebody brought biscuits and some tea, and then we ran back again. And I fucking hated it. I just, the whole run, I was thinking, this is the worst fucking... And then this man like came up running and he's like, apparently you're writing an article. I was like, don't even talk to me, don't even look at me. And then we did the gardening. I didn't speak to anybody. And then we ran out. I was like, bloody running. But then right, for the last, like, honestly, like 500 metres from the finish line, where I was like, okay, finally. We got chatting to this guy and he was ever so funny. And I remember being like, right, I should have committed more to this. Like, I should have not been just so angry and in my box about it and so furious about spending my evening doing this running. I should have been like just a bit more like open to the universe and a bit more like open about it. And then, as a genuine like twist of fate, this Shiraz, as a thank you, sent me this. I don't remember why they didn't get it there in time, and they sent me this big crate of Shiraz wine. And again, what was it? Wolf Blass? I mean, who knows? And it wasn't, because I think Wolf Blass sounds funny. Okay, we've grasped it. Anyway, so they sent me all this wine, and by chance, my neighbour came and knocked on the door and was like, I think they've delivered this to the wrong place.
Oh,
can
wow.
you believe that? And then I was like, oh my God, it was supposed to do this article, and I was supposed to come and knock on your door. And they were like, are you joking? And I was like, no, I was too cringe, I couldn't do it. And they were like, come round. And then we did have it. But like, you can't, I know. And then we had drank all the wine, and we did have the night. It wasn't as fun as I described it, but...
you did not get on.
We didn't know. We were actually quite tedious together, but it was funny. It wasn't this like Mediterranean dream that I wrote about, but all I was like sitting on the stoop just enjoying a sundowner. But I was like, oh okay, sometimes you just have, if you can just cross that cringe barrier and you can just step out there and you can just send the thing and you can just say, oh hey, how's it going, I'm on my own, would you mind if I sit with you, or I really love this plaid green shirt and trouser combo you're wearing, you look fantastic.
Okay, thank you.
I've always thought Rupert Bear was the best of all the bears, and
this isn't Rupert. I know, this is someone who's broken out of a like hospital or something.
Yeah, it does look like that, but you've got really good sewing skills. So to make them not look for you, you were like, I'll make it into a shirt and trouser.
Yeah, that's what it looked like.
You look really nice.
Oh, it sounds like it.
No, you do look nice. You look so nice.
Thank you. I was just compliment fishing.
But look, now we're chatting.
But now we're chatting about it, and I feel
you,
great.
You were like, piss off, and I was like, I'm not joking. And now you know we're bonded. And so it's just about being those, you know, but just bravery.
Like the time. Tell them about the time when you did when you danced in the Olympics.
Oh dear!
It's a good story because at the end, then they're all like, "Where have you been?" And you're a great laugh.
Okay, in the
abridged version, maybe if you don't want to tell it properly.
No, I will. In 2012, I danced in the opening ceremony of the Olympic Games. I tell people I danced in that piece that was only like 30 of them, and they were all sort of in yellow, and they did this like thing where they were the sea. It was very impressive. But I actually was one of 50 David Bowies in the Music Through the Generation bit. And
Tessa isn't a professional dancer.
Oh, boy, sorry.
The bulk of you thought that was just going to be... No, she's...
I can't stress enough how much I can't dance. I also ticked on... I wanted to be a Mary Poppins who descended on from her umbrella. And I ticked and said I had advanced trapeze skills. And... I've never been on a trapeze in my life. I just thought, yeah, I'll learn on the day, I think. Obviously, they let like gymnasts do that. And I wasn't allowed in the bit where we were the sea, and so I was David Bowie. I had the time. It was great. Anyway, you can see me for a split second on the screen. We rehearsed for 9 months. I am going in the wrong direction. Okay? So... I am such a bad dancer. It's absolutely unreal. And I can't really hear rhythm.
But
wow.
Anyway.
The point is that I was my dream to dance in the opening ceremony. And I get in and we rehearse every weekend on Saturday and Sunday from January. I was thinking, what's the first month of the year? January through to July. So we really commit. And we do it in this car park in Dagenham where the whole map of the stadium has been made out on the floor. And we basically there the whole day. And I did not make a single friend. I just thought everybody was like so, everyone was so gung-ho. And I...
Didn't you take a book or something? Yeah, and you just sit and read over and
read Game of Thrones in the corner. Yes. And so then obviously everyone was like, well, don't talk to that girl. She can't move properly. And she just wants to read Game of Thrones by herself. And weirdly, I had that feeling of being like, oh, everybody knows each other or everyone's like from the same dance club or whatever. But they just all met on the same day, just like I had. And I just wasn't brave enough to do that. Like, oh, hello, I'm Tessa. Like, I just was like, well, they'll say hello to me if they want to say hello to me. And then genuinely, like, 2, 3, or 4 weeks in, like, I mean, literally before the performance, oh, my God, we're, like, in the tunnel as we're, like, waiting to go on, I finally, like, sort of come out of my shell and start cracking gags left, right, and centre. And honestly, everyone, we're in the tunnel. Like, we've got our headpieces on. Everyone's there. Everyone's laughing around me in the stage, in the tunnel. And everyone was like, oh, my God, like, when did you join our group? And I was like, I've been here for 9 months. Like, I've been stood beside you in the formation, the David Bowie going the wrong direction for this entire time. And everyone was like, where have you come from? And I was like, here, I've been here. And I just was like, I wish I had been, and like, they're all in a Facebook group and like they all still do stuff together and they go on these reunions. And I just didn't turn up
to the reunion.
They would think it was so fucking weird if I came to the reunions.
No, this is literally
It's been 10
about.
Years and they meet every year and then they'd be like, sorry, who are you? And it'll be all over again.
No, because all of course you don't have to, you don't want to.
I don't.
No, but what I'm saying is, say if you did want to and you felt like you couldn't, this is literally the thing that you would send a message and go, it's been 10 years, it's totally mad, but like, I'd love to join if you can. And like, they'd love that.
Yeah.
Because they're going to remember the Bowie that couldn't dance.
Yeah, they probably are.
You're like a myth.
Yeah,
like a legend.
I kept crashing into people.
Yes, I don't doubt it. I've seen you like walk around.
Yeah. Oh, God. See, case in point.
Yeah.
Not very good ambidextrous skills. But my point is, like, I think about it all the time. And every time I think, and I'm in a new group, or I feel like, oh, I'm like, oh, everybody's a friend, I'm not me, then I think, remember what happened in Dagenham?
Yes.
I think.
Yeah, always.
So if that is helpful to you, think,
what happened in Dagenham. And then you'll go, what? And then you won't feel alone anymore because you'll be with your own thoughts. very good. We need to wrap up soon, though.
Yeah, it'll just make you be like, okay, come on.
Yes.
Come on.
Very quickly, I wanted to say, boring, but like, reevaluate your social media usage. It's very boring to be like, when you look and you see everyone's having a great time, you're not, there's not actually any good stuff on that.
No, I wasn't reading it.
The time, though.
Mine's dead.
Oh, yeah, of course.
So sorry. The social media.
No, I mean, I wasn't really saying anything of any interest.
Oh, my, please.
Oh, my God.
You're doing fantastic.
Just the idea that I, even though I know this stuff, I get in my own head, and this is the time as well of year where you see the weddings and you're like, oh, I wasn't invited to that, but I didn't know that. Or you're like, oh, cool, they've all gone on to they've gone camping. Oh, shit. Or you just, the amount of people I see that, I'm like, how do you know that many people, A, and B, who organised you all to go to the same pub at the same time? It's so hard to get anyone to do anything. And then I get in my own head, and then I start to feel lonely and feel like, and actually, it's all bullshit, isn't it, really?
Yeah.
So if you as well, social media very cleverly makes you feel like you're not isolated because you can develop really lovely friendships online. But it turns out that we as humans do need, I was going to say mouth-to-mouth contact.
Nothing from this evening, remember,
mouth-to-mouth content. That's what you want to know.
Is it mouth-to-mouth or face-to-mouth?
It's face-to-mouth. We need to put our foreheads on people's mouths. No, we need to experience the what it feels like to, because as well, like, you know, we pick up cues from people's faces. Even just being around other people creates a chemical reaction within us that we don't get from, it's like a false one with social media. Well, look, thank you so much. I hope that was helpful to people listening. I hope it was helpful for everyone in this room. I certainly am going to go out and make some connections alone while I'm eating my sandwich on the train.
Yeah, let's talk to some people.
Yeah, we won't. I'm just going to be eating stuff in my face. But when I get in my life in general, I shall.
You're going to invite some people on some holidays.
Yeah.
I'm going to keep sending some texts about Antiques Feds and others.
You're going to do the Dagenham reunion.
Yeah, I'm going to do the Dagenham reunion. Swap from taking to giving. Swap from waiting to doing. Swap from hoping to trying.
Ooh! Please do follow us at Nobody Panic Pod on Twitter, or if you're listening and you think, I've got a good suggestion for these incredible experts, please do email us nobodypanicpodcast@gmail.com. and thank you so much, Salisbury, give yourselves a round of applause.
You've been amazing.
Thank you so much.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedy-ad-free. That's amazon.com/comedy-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Lucy Beaumont.
And guess what? I'm Sam Campbell.
If you've enjoyed this podcast, you might enjoy our podcast. It's called Lucy and Sam's Perfect Brains.
We have a podcast and it might be, I probably don't want to sound, you know, like I'm bragging, but it's dynamite. It is electric. It's high voltage. And please, we really need you to listen. You don't understand how much we need this.
Is it on all the platforms?
Oh, it absolutely is. But yeah, this one is coming. This one's out now. Lucy and Sam's Perfect Brains.